Welcome to Career Tools. This week, working from home will stunt your career, chapter one, choosing to work from home, part two. The questions this cast answers are, what effect will working from home have on my career? And what should I consider when debating whether to work from home?
Folks, we've just launched on our website our 2022 M Conference. It'll be October 26th and 27th. In Chicago, we loved the hotel we were at, and a bunch of the attendees this year told us it was a central location, easy to get to, and we had an incredible event. You may have heard me say it before, the two best days of a conference that we've put on in the last 20 years, maybe in my entire career. The vibe within the room and the managers and executives who were there were just absolutely incredible. And I want to encourage you, if you're a manager or if you're even an individual contributor and you're thinking about becoming an executive someday, to consider attending the M Conference. There are only 50 slots. It lasts for 2 days. It's $3,000. There's some swag in there. But you also get several years worth of licenses for free. And that brings the cost down enormously. And so I really want you to start paying attention as we talk about M Conference, and I want you to consider it because it's the highlight of our year, and you're going to hear from executives and managers from all over the Manager Tools community talking about what they're dealing with real world, day to day. Really outstanding stuff. Come to the website, learn more, sign up. I'd love to meet you there and shake your hand. That's about the one place you'll be able to shake my hand at from now on. Going forward at the M Conference, October 26th and 27th, Chicago.
Welcome back to our long cast about working from home. We talked about two of the negative effects last week. We're going to pick up now with the last negative, and then we're going to talk about the positives and how to actually make the choice. So the last thing we have on negatives is poorer mental health. And we don't normally cover things like this, and it is not your boss's job to make sure that you stay mentally healthy. It's your job.
Yep.
They can do things to help you sometimes, and if they are actively doing things to make things worse, then you probably want to have that conversation. But it's your job to decide what makes you mentally healthy and make sure that those factors, those things in your environment are there, and not everybody is suited to working from home, whatever the benefits. Yeah. It can be isolating if you live alone and your family are gone all day. And, you know, the first week it's like, oh, peace and quiet. And after a month, it feels like solitary confinement. You know, they leave and then it's silence for the next 10 hours until they come home. It can be a very solitary existence.
Yeah. And, you know, some people are going to miss the learning and the stimuli that come from working around others. You know, I'm thinking, if you're familiar with DISC, right, our high I's and high S's, they feed off of that energy with other people. And this often isn't even about the work. I think even you high D's and C's would be surprised at how much you miss hearing about, you know, popular culture stuff, right? The latest TV shows, how much you rely on other people to kind of keep you in the loop on things so that you can have an intelligent conversation should you have to make chit chat, right?
Right. I remember when I first started working from home, and I was working in the UK for Manager Tools. So I started at 2 or 3 in the afternoon and worked till 10 or 11 at night. And my friends would come home from work and come to my house and cook me dinner because it was then my lunchtime. And I said, please tell me what's going on Coronation Street, which is a long-running soap in the UK. I have never watched it, apart from 10 minutes here and there. But that kind of continuity of people say, oh, did you see what happened? And oh, so-and-so did this. And I missed that. I can't really even explain why, but it was so, it's so part of the fabric of life that I missed not having it.
Yeah. I tell people all the time when we do our ECC sessions, and our audience typically skews high D, high C, right? We do a lot of tech, a lot of people who listen to podcasts are high D, high C. And so it's interesting that this year we've seen, or at least I've seen, this is anecdotal, I've seen a lot more high S's. And I've talked through that with several groups, and we've talked through it internally even a little bit. And, you know, I think my hypothesis is that even our high D's and high C's who are task focused, they're not people focused, after working from home and kind of this lonely, solitary confinement type of atmosphere, they say to themselves, you know, maybe people weren't so bad,
yes,
right? And maybe it's not that bad. And so we've seen a lot more S's, a uh-huh. lot more reserved and people-focused profiles. And I half jokingly, half very truthfully think that perhaps some of those high S's will go right back when people do go back to the office and say, yeah, I don't know what I was thinking. I don't like these people. Yes, but you right. would...
Yes, I like people, but not these people.
Right. I like the idea of people, not the actual construct. Yes. Yeah.
It's amazing. You know, the one thing another thing I miss is the informal learning, that the fact that I used to go to interviews all over the organization and find out really weird things. Like I once interviewed somebody who was an escalator repair person, and it's fascinating. And I missed that when I was at home because I was so... You're so focused on just the task you're doing, and you don't have all those kind of conversations going around you where you can say, oh, really? Tell me more about that.
All the time I think of whenever somebody would bring me to their desk and they would go to show me something that they were working on, and they would do some cool, I'm such a nerd about like keyboard shortcuts, yes. right? And they would do some keyboard shortcut to do, and I go, how did you just do that, right? But I would have never learned that if they just sent me the spreadsheet.
Yes.
Right? Those types of things, it's small, but it's really invaluable. And guess what? Because of that, I learned something, but I also made a little bit of a deeper connection with them because mm-hmm. they were like, oh, you like that stuff too? Well, here, what did you yes. know you can do this? Yeah. Right? It's yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Nerding out together.
Exactly. And, you know, I think our last point here to round out the negatives is it can be harder to set boundaries when you work from home. You know, the complaints about email being a constant companion on our phones seem to have become universal, but we can at least set our phones down, right? We can turn them on silent. We can set them in the fruit bowl, right? Mm-hmm. But if your workspace is in your home, you could find it hard to ignore. I think of, it's always easy just to say, I'm going to just do that one more thing, right? For me, especially this year, right? Because I not only am I working from home, but starting a new job happens to also be a job I very much care about and invested in. Previous employers who are listening to this, I cared about your jobs too.
Just not as much as this one.
Just not as much as this one. And for me, it's easy to get the kids to bed and say, I'm just going to jump on real quick. I'm just going to make sure.
I'm just going to see what's going on.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I learned that there's other things I could be doing, like watching 30 minutes of TV with my wife and, you know, that type of stuff, or helping her get the kids' lunches ready for the next morning or whatever. So those types of things, it's hard. It's hard to set those boundaries. It's easy to find yourself partly working and partly living all at the same time. And the physical separation, as I mentioned earlier, also helps with the mental separation. You know, I remember someone made a joke, I can't remember who it was, but somebody said, you know, it's, I feel less like I'm working from home. I feel like I live at work now.
Yes. Yeah. It's the different perspective, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's true. So now we've just spent, I don't know, 40 minutes talking about the negatives. Let's talk about the positives. Because the positives in working from home probably come more easily to you. If you are considering it, you're probably thinking about the positives. So here's some things that you might think about. And the first thing is family, obviously. Family first. So making choices which may negatively affect your career but have a positive outcome for your family are nothing new. You know, women have worked part-time jobs to be available for childcare for decades. Mm-hmm. Those jobs often weren't what they wanted to do or what they could have been doing, but they did it because they did it for their family. You know, men have foregone promotions when the role would have required them to be away from home too much. People have foregone shift work and the extra pay that would have given in order to be home to support their spouse with children. There are millions of examples of these for all genders and all ages and in a myriad of circumstances, all summed up with family first.
Yeah, what's different now, I would say, is that there's less recognition that the choices we make will affect our career, right? A woman who worked a part-time job knew perhaps that she wouldn't get benefits or that she would be paid less or wouldn't get promotion opportunities and or be considered less committed and so on, but made the choice anyway. Working from home may have benefits for your family and you may be able to avoid the negatives, but don't make that choice believing that there will be no downsides, right? That's the key message here.
And when we're talking about women working part-time jobs, I'm thinking of the 50s and 60s and 70s, not, you know, more recently. It's just a nice stereotype to make the point. I'm not suggesting that any of that stuff was good. It just was.
Right. It's just what it was.
And those things that people knew that they were going to forego when they worked part-time may also apply to you working from home, whatever gender you are. And it's not a case of specific exclusion. It's a result of the change in the quality of the relationship between you and the company when you're not doing what's expected or what's normal. Even if, you know, the rate of people who work from home goes up from 20% to 60%, oh, maybe 50%, I guess normal is halfway, right? But even if it doubles, I think the work from home rate before the pandemic was only about 10 to 15%. So if it doubles, you're still the minority. So doing what's not normal causes a disconnect in the relationship.
For sure. Yeah. The other point we make here is, or another positive I should say, is you may do better work remotely or enough that it shows. Many of us believe that we're more productive on days when we work from home. We get our heads down, we plow through, we finish that piece of work that's been outstanding for weeks. It's possible that you're one of those people who do work much more productively at home, so much so that other people can't help but notice. You know, they see that in your results or in your work product itself.
And for other people, if you're not commuting, if you had a long commute before, if you hadn't, you know, an hour either way, that maybe you get an extra half an hour to be at home and an extra half an hour's work in the day. You can like split that time that you're gaining. And as long as you're able to keep strong boundaries, an extra 30 minutes 3 days a week adds up to an extra 90 minutes a week. And most of us can do something significant in that time for work or for home. So if you get 30 minutes either end of the day and you manage to use that productively on three of the days of the week each time, you know, maybe 90 minutes is a long run for a marathon person and a chunk of a project.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's, you know, you can only say 3 days a week because it's the majority of time. There's always stuff that's going to come up and use up that time. But if you've got strong enough boundaries, hopefully you'll be able to use it productively.
Absolutely. Another benefit would be the role that you're in or your role that you're serving the organization could be suited for working at home or working from home. Roles that require a large amount of work to be done without others are easily and sometimes more productively done from home. For example, document processing that's done entirely in an online system for an insurance company would require very little interaction with others. In addition, it's a role that's easily measured, which makes employers more comfortable with their staff working from home. Roles that require client visits, right? Going to, you know, sales, right? Mm-hmm. Going on sales calls, have been done, you know, from the road for years and changing the end of day routine from coming back to the office to submitting the day's results from home doesn't really change the productivity of that individual, right? It's just submitting the results from
a different location.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so maybe your role is suited to working from home. If you complained during the pandemic about never-ending Zoom calls, you're not suited or the job probably isn't suited to working from home. So let's get down to the nitty-gritty of making a decision. So in order to make an informed decision about permanently working from home, you need to consider all of the factors that go into making the right choice. And only you can decide whether it's worth it to you at this time. Now, we have a series. It's 13 podcasts. So if you don't have a personal license, I recommend you go buy one now, because then you can read those 13 podcasts rather than listen to another 6.5 hours of podcast just to find out what these factors are. And you'll also be able to read all of the show notes that we've just gone through.
Especially if you don't have a commute because you're
right.
Working from home.
Exactly. You're working from home. We've got no more podcast time. And we gave you in that series about choosing a company to work for, which is about thinking about the kind of jobs that you want to do. We gave you 10 factors to consider. And now if that's a job working from home, we can add career effects to that. So now we've got 11 factors. So the factors, in case you're wondering, are compensation, values, industry stability, reputation, opportunities, locations, financials, customer base, a space for your questions, and waiting. So it's a very long list, and those we have examples and definitions of all of those different factors. And then there's a table that helps you fill in those factors on the left. Then you can fill in a column for job one and a column for job two, and you write in there how those factors weigh up for the two offers. And that helps you make a really informed decision about which offer you're going to take. In this case, we're going to do working from home and working in the office. And the most important part of it in terms of making the choice for you is the waiting part. So that's waiting as in measuring how heavy something is, not waiting as in how long you have to stand in line. Because for some of you, the financials is the most important thing, and you would weight that way more heavily than something else. For others, the company reputation is really important to them. They wouldn't want to work for a company that had a bad reputation. Other people aren't bothered. There's something else that's more important to them, and so they put that to one side. For some people, the type of customers they work for or with is really important. And for other people, it's the location that's really important. So knowing the factors is one thing, but knowing which ones are important to you is equally as important. And that's kind of where this whole working from home thing comes in that, you know, is being able to be home for your family, do you weight that more heavily than the career effects that you may or may not get from working from home?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we're not marriage tools or relationship tools, but certainly, I mean, I wouldn't recommend anyone marriage advice, but I will tell you that when I consider stuff like this, right, my wife is involved in understanding, if nothing else, how I weight these things, and then getting some input on how far off are we in terms of alignment. Because if I'm weighting location very, very high, but, you know, she's more interested in, I don't know, compensation, mm-hmm. right? Then there's a disconnect there. And so that I need to understand that, right?
Yeah, that's why Andrew's married and I am not. So if you have the show notes, again, if you have a personal license, highly recommended. You have the example that we've done for a person, random person, with a comparison of working in the office and working from home. So we'll go through them one by one and see if we can bring out some of the positives and negatives that we talked about earlier and how they might affect some of these factors and where you might end up weighing them up. So compensation, if you're working in the office, is likely to rise at least equivalent with colleagues. So if everybody else is getting a 3% rise, you probably will get a 3% rise, right? If you're working from home, you may be negatively affected in compensation, in part because companies are saying, well, if you aren't coming into the office and you're working remotely in somewhere where it's cheaper to live, we don't need to pay you as much.
Yeah, gas prices.
Right. But that's a real way up, right? Because if you don't need to commute, then maybe that lack of compensation is okay with you. That's right. Why this thing is complicated, right?
Exactly.
But values. This is the company value. So, you know, if you're working in an office, the company values fit with your own. Now, working from home may or may not be affected by the company values. Some companies value their employees equally. Some companies value people for the amount of work they are seen to be putting in. rather than the actual value that they bring to the company. On the other hand, your personal value of putting your family first may tip you over the edge to working at home, even though you might be negatively viewed by the company.
Yeah. Industry stability is the next one. You know, working in the office, you could say that the industry is currently stable, right? And working from home, if the industry results are lower, that could make you at risk for layoffs in the future, certainly.
Or your results could be not as good as your colleagues and you're the one that goes, or you're not right. as well known as your colleagues and therefore you're the one they lay off. It's like, who can we lay off with the least amount of pain? The person we know the least.
Absolutely.
Next one is reputation. So working in the office, the company is known to be fair to employees and customers. Working from home, we might have something like the company is known to be fair to employees, but no one else permanently works from home, so I don't know how I'll be affected. Right? Mm. If nobody else is doing what you're doing, you cannot trust that what you see for everybody else is going to happen to you. And it's a very pessimistic way to put it. And so optimists will say, I'm sure it'll be fine. And if you're the kind of person who says, I'm sure it'll be fine, I'm sure it will be fine. But it's worth considering, if nobody else is doing what you're doing, will the same things apply to you that apply to them?
Right, exactly. The next one is opportunities. And working in the office, there are more opportunities for a promotion. Working from home, there are fewer opportunities for promotion. And, you know, I think of this even as it really when it comes down to that informal communication and being in the office and hearing that, hey, there's potentially there's a project kind of on the horizon, maybe potentially there's conjecture and it may be worth starting to put your name out there or starting to demonstrate that you have certain skills that would be beneficial to that project. But because that project is not official yet, you're at working from home, you're getting a lot less of that informal communication. And so you won't hear about that until it becomes official. And guess what? At that point, the team's already hired. Everything's already in place.
Yeah. Location. So maybe if you go to the office, you have an hour commute. If you work from home, you're like, yay, I'm working from home. But maybe you have the space, but you would need to remodel or you would need to make some accommodation of, you know, change what you have in order to make yourself more comfortable. And that might be at your own cost. And, you know, that can be good or bad. You know, I have a 6 foot long butcher block desk, which I absolutely love because it's 6 feet long and I can put all my work on it all the way across. I wouldn't have that in an office. On the other hand, I had to buy it. So.
Yeah. But I mean, I think it also depends on what you're doing and what you value, you know, which is exactly what we've been talking about this whole time. But I had to displace Amanda. We shared the office before, but because I'm presenting or on calls, she can't be in the same workspace, right? So I displaced my wife. She works elsewhere in the house and we don't have a guest room now. And we live in Las Vegas, for those of you that don't know that. And so people are very upset that they don't have a free place to stay when they come to Las Vegas. But we found it's actually quite pleasant.
So the weighing up for you was less friends, more work. Fair enough.
Exactly.
Yeah. Let's talk about customers. So maybe if you're in the office, you would see customers face-to-face on a regular basis, and that might help you predict the skills that you would need in the future. Yeah. But if you were working from home, you would have to make the effort to go visit customers, and it would be harder to have a good sense of their needs.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I had a professor in college that said, if you can be early in your career, if you can stay as close to the customers as possible, right? You won't have to be very smart to know what is important and what's valued in terms of what your customers need, which drive the organization. Finally, the working from home effects, right? And so you've got, in our table, we put the commute really affects my family life and therefore my morale under working in the office. And under working from home, we put my relationships with the team are strong and I feel confident in maintaining them.
It's difficult, even though I wrote the example, I wouldn't know where these are fairly equal both ways for me.
Yeah.
But depending on which things you value most, that you could come out either way on this.
Yeah.
And that's the point. The weighting is entirely individual.
Exactly. And Wendy, I would even say just a small thing, all of these can be interpreted or argued either way. I mean, the idea of working from home giving you more time for family first, right? One of the things that sometimes I struggle with being home, working from home, is that if my kids are off from school for the day, they think, oh, dad is home.
Yes.
No, dad's not home, right? So, you know, there's a thing where
too much sometimes, family first.
Yeah, well, yeah, sometimes it tears at you because you think, you know, when my son says, hey, you know, can we play football, or, you know, can we, I don't know, can we go putt, you know, golf balls? I have to say, hey, no, sorry, buddy. Dad's actually at work right now. Like, I can't go do that. And his little brain goes, no, you're not. You're right here, right? You're
like, I can
you're,
see
this
you.
Is a, yeah, sometimes you can argue it both ways.
Okay. And your children are very young. To yeah. sort of, I don't know how young them. They're shorter than me, and I'm only 5 foot, so that is pretty young. If you had older children, there would be an entirely different situation and way up, and maybe a completely the opposite. You know,
I know we're probably going over. I mean, we've got a lot that we've covered here in this podcast or this series, but we've got a lot more to cover too. But I think you touched on something that's really, really important for people to understand, which is you do have to make the decision for your current situation, your
yes.
current life. And you also need to consider what is going to happen. And mm-hmm. what you have more control over is your personal life and those things in your personal life. And so you can know, hey, do I want my kids? I mean, I have 3 boys. The idea that, you know, soccer practices and t-ball and, you know, lessons and jujitsu and all of that stuff is going to take up a lot of my time when I'm home is something I need to consider and I need to know, right? And something I have a hand in.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it's not just now, but also thinking of if 4 or 5 years from now, I continue to work from home. What does that do to my career? And also, what does that do to home life? And so, more to consider. Always a lot to consider.
It's a lot.
It's a big decision.
Yeah. So, we went through a whole bunch of positives and negatives, and then a whole bunch of more factors, and gave you even more podcasts to listen to. And we hope that when you get to the end of that and you make the decision, whether or not you want to work in the office or work from home, that you've made a decision based on really thinking it through and therefore not regretting it. You made a decision that's right for you, and therefore you can live with the positives or negatives of whichever decision you made rather than regret it. You want to make a decision and then go forward with it rather than always be thinking, what if, what if, what if?
Right.
That is a guarantee that your career will not be successful if you spend your time thinking, I wish I'd done the other thing. So making the right decision. I don't believe in making right decisions because I don't think there are often is only one right decision. And I also think that time and experience tells you that you could have made the other decision and it would have worked out just fine. But I do think there's the right decision for that moment and having thought it through and accepted the positives and negatives. And that's, I hope, what we've helped you do. That's all for chapter 1. In the next 2 chapters, we're going to talk about the effect on results and relationships in more detail. And we're going to talk about what you can do to mitigate those effects if you choose to work from home. We'll be back soon with chapters 2 and 3. Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks, Wendy. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.